Hey, I'm Michael Dorinda.
And I'm Jake Bennett.
And welcome to episode 39 of the North Meets South web podcast.
All right, I think we need some new intro music. It's a new year. We officially need some new intro music. So I'm going to have to be on the lookout for some. I would really like to get new intro music for both of our podcasts, honestly.
Yeah, we can give it a crack. We can find something. It's always hard, though. Because you pull up one of those sites that have got all the, you know, the tunes on there, and you literally just spend hours, and then you think you found the one, but you keep listening anyway in case there's another one. And before you know it, hours are gone and it's 2 a.m. and you've got no closer to finding a new one.
Yeah. So I've got a friend who does music. Like, he produces music. He makes music. He's very talented. His name is Lewis Lux. And he was asking me the other day, he was like, Jake, how can I get on your podcast? I'd love to be on your podcast sometime. I was like, I tell you what, you write us new intro music and I will have you on the podcast. For some short amount of time. Yeah. So
it's a good way to do it.
Might have to do a trade. I don't know. He thinks he's funny because he would just talk about nonsense. He wants me to talk to him like he knows about stuff, and then he could just come up with whatever. I don't know. He's funny like that.
As long as you sound confident, you get away with it.
That's right. Well,
we might have to put a big disclaimer up at the start of that episode.
Yeah, exactly. Happy Australia Day, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. We had that yesterday, yeah. So we had some friends over for a barbecue and played some Cards Against Humanity and played some Mario Kart. I'm not very good at Mario Kart, I've discovered.
Shame on you.
Tanuki. I always play as Tanuki because he looks cool, but Tanuki stands out like a sore thumb on the track. So when I was playing with my wife and one of my friends, they just kept on throwing those shells at me.
I'm not sure I know who Tanuki is. Who is that?
Tanuki is like, it's Mario, but he's wearing a little brown suit.
So
he stands out like a sore thumb on the track amongst all of the other generic Nintendo characters. So I think I learned my lesson yesterday.
Luigi. Anytime there's like a Mario themed anything, like Mario Kart, Mario Party, anything, I'm always Luigi. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it's like my man of choice there. So I remember on Mario Kart Wii, I like 100% of that game. Like I beat every level, every ghost, everything, backwards, forwards, unlocked everything, did it all. And so I loved that game. That was a lot of fun. I haven't had a Wii. I haven't had like any Nintendo stuff since then though. So I didn't have the Wii U. I don't have the Switch.
Yeah. So I just get frustrated because I'm like, it's a race and then you're winning and suddenly someone's throwing a bloody green shell at you or something and it's all over and you lose at the finish line.
The blue shell is the worst, right? The blue shell like catches up to the leader of the pack and just nukes them. Yeah, that's the worst. That's like the most frustrating thing ever.
And it's always my wife that's like sitting next to me on the couch and she's just like sniggering to herself because she's the one. She's the one that's thrown a shell on me.
She's like holding the blue shell the whole time until like the very end, right before you cross the line. She just blows you up. So what's our equivalent here? Like what Australia Day is when the first ships arrived in the continent or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know that you'd celebrate it specifically. I suppose Independence Day would be the
Columbus
closest
Day?
Equivalent. Or maybe Columbus Day.
I think Independence Day would probably be the closest equivalent thing
to Australia Day in terms of size and scope of celebration.
Sure. Yeah, I should have got out my Australia, like all my stuff that you got us for Australia Day, like the beach balls and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot to get it out. We still have it. I mean, it's right on the shelf, right behind me. I could go grab it right now.
Yeah. Yep. Matt Stalfer sent me a video a couple of weeks ago, I think, of his son Kai. And he said every day when he gets home, they like play with that ball.
That's funny.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That is cool. That's funny. Okay. So we've got a lot of random stuff to talk about today. Some tech related, some not tech related, and a big announcement from my friend, Mr. Michael Dorinda. Where do we want to slide this in? Do we want to like put it at the beginning of the show? Or do we want to tease it for the end of the show? What do you think?
Let's slip it in the middle then, I think.
All right. So you folks are going to have to listen carefully.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk first about something that you and I were talking about earlier today. We're going to go with we'll start with tech stuff. I've got a couple of things to talk about that I'm sure will actually take up lots of time. So the one thing that I wanted to talk about first of all is attributes on a model that use relationships. All right, so let me pitch it to you this way. Let's say I have a user model and we're speaking Laravel here, right? Let's say I have a user model, and on that model, I want to be able to call top posts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, really easily. And so I decide, and this is all, again, this is all hypothetical, so I'm going to tear apart a minute. So before you scream, just let me finish. So top posts, right? And you have a posts relationship with your user. Your user has many posts, and you want to see their top posts, or maybe most recent posts or whatever. So their 10 most recent posts. So you make an attribute, an accessor, right? By saying get top 10 posts attribute.
Mm-hmm.
And what that will do is Laravel will kind of in the background use its magic to make available to you an attribute on that model called top 10 posts.
Mm-hmm.
In that method that you're going to make, get top 10 posts attribute, you're going to say this posts, and then you're going to say order by updated at or created at descending take 10 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so the problem with this is that you now have an attribute that is relying upon a relationship. Now, the reason why that is a problem is because now anytime you query your user's table, Laravel is going to assume that you want that attribute. Like, you can't opt out of attributes, I don't think. So that's my question. I believe that's how it is, and that's how I understood it. So the reason why that's a problem is because if you went and queried for all of your users in your database or a large number of them, unless you did an eager load for their posts, which since you have this as an attribute, it'd literally be every single time you queried your user's table, you'd have to do an eager load of your posts. Mm-hmm. So unless you do that, you're going to end up with a massive amount of queries running, right? So if you ever forgot to not eager load your posts, or if you ever forgot to eager load your posts, you'd be screwed pretty much. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Yeah.
So as kind of like a general rule, I've always said like we don't use relationships and attributes, period, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me I'm wrong.
I think that's wrong. I think the accesses are run through the magic get method. So the accessor, the thing that determines if there is actually an accessor for any given attribute that you're calling, only happens at the time that you call it. I'm pretty sure. So if you loaded your users and then listed them, for example, and you had 20 users on the page, each one of those 20 records would make a database query, depending on how you've written the accessor, but it won't do it
at runtime. It won't do it when you're running the query.
Yeah. So in the Eloquent model, there's a underscore underscore get method, so that when you call, you know, model arrow posts, it looks to see if you're trying to access an attribute or if you're trying to access a relationship, and then does some stuff in that method, I'm pretty sure. So I don't think the performance issue is there, but you'll certainly hit it if you're iterating through a list of users and then trying to get it, because then you're going to get 20 queries on a page for that. So there are probably a couple of ways of doing that. Number one would be to eager load the relationships. The other thing that you could probably do that might be a bit nicer is to actually define a relationship on your user model that is latest post, and then you could put the constraints into the relationship itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that would allow you to do, you know, return this has many posts, and then just chain a where on the end to then limit it, or, you know, put your latest on there, latest take 10. And that way it would be on the relationship method, and then you could eager load the relationship, which might be a bit cleaner as well. But those are probably two ways that you could look at getting around those or mitigating the impact of those N plus one issues.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I'm 99% sure that the accessor, like your magic accessor methods, don't get called unless you specifically call them. Yeah.
Or unless you're doing like serialized, like unless it's like returning a serialized array, right? Like if it's returning JSON. Yeah. Yeah. So it has to be in appends.
It certainly will.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Maybe that's what burned me. Maybe that's what it was.
Mm.
I think that might have been it. So like at one point there was something that I had to have. I had it as an attribute and I needed it in appends, and that's when I got burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I just swore it off and said, no more. We'll never do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it would make sense. It would make sense what you're saying though, because relationships aren't loaded unless you specifically ask for them. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's not like when you say like user, so like not because you have a posts relationship on your user doesn't mean that it automatically gets loaded every time you query your user table.
Yeah. Right, unless you call it. And then the first time you call it, Eloquent will go, oh, this relationship isn't loaded. So it will go and load the data and then return it.
Yep, so, you're right. That's exactly what it is. So it's, yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's, like I said, I think that's what it was, is I had it in an append thing and it was killing me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that would probably have been your issue. So yep. I guess for me, determining whether I use a relationship method or if I use an accessor will depend on how complex the accessor is. So on a post, I might have a get author name attribute, which gets the name from the author relationship or the user. Those kind of simple things, just so that you've got a nice clean accessor at the top level model. So on the post model. But if I'm doing, like you suggested, where you want to have some conditions on the query, I would probably put that in its own named relationship method. And that gives you the benefit of then eager loading that in your other queries as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. That makes good sense. Yeah, so you had just said, like, if you wanted to have like a post's author name, right? Because you'd say like post user, mm-hmm. like this user, and then name or something like that.
Yeah.
You'd put that in an accessor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just eager load your authors. Yeah.
Yeah, that comes back to the law of Demeter. You know, that so that we're not reaching through the user model to get the author. We can just get the author directly from the post.
Yep. You can touch your friends and you can touch your privates, but you can't touch your friends'
mm-hmm.
privates.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good one. Always a good laugh.
Yeah. I did actually make specific mention of that case in I'll link it up in the show notes. I spent some time over the last few weeks writing a style guide for our own apps internally, which I haven't gotten around to blogging about yet, just as a baseline. I don't think there's anything groundbreaking in there. You're not going to learn anything new. It's more so just taking everything that I do as a, you know, a single developer and writing it down so that when a team of developers are writing in the same code base, it all looks the same.
Yeah.
Just so that there's something to refer to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. Spasi has their style guide out there, which is a great mm-hmm. starting point actually. And I think it's open source. So you can fork it too, if you are interested in doing so, which I think kind of what I'm going to do as we're moving forward. Most of our stuff is pretty standardized. We've got a lot of, you know, a lot of our applications are done practically the same way. It's not documented, unfortunately. So like the issue is onboarding, right? Like onboarding new developers is a little slow because they got to learn that. But right now I don't specifically need it because the folks that are there, they understand it.
Yeah. So you've got three or four in your team now?
Let's see. It's myself. Jordan is not really, he's not a full-time developer, but he does some.
Sure.
We've got Michael, and then we had Tyshawn, who actually just had to, he just stepped out. He had to, he was like, I really got to focus on school, trying to like finish on mm-hmm. time and stuff. And so he ended up going back to school and stepping out. So he'll probably come back on the team at some point, like once he's done in May, but we'll see. So we're actually looking for another developer right now. So if you know any good developers.
Not in your area.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? That's the thing is like for our position, it really, it doesn't have to be local. It could be remote, but.
Sure.
It's not this
remote.
Yeah, not that remote. Right, exactly. but if anybody's listening to this and you are an Illinois resident and you'd be willing to locate to the Bloomington Normal area, which is a great place to raise kids, by the way, it's an awesome place. You should definitely hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about models and databases here. So you had said that you were kind of migrating a couple apps that needed to like share some information with models and things like that. You didn't want to have like duplicated code, and you said you've kind of got that figured out. So you want to talk to us about that for a minute? Tell us what you came up with.
Yeah. I think it would have been our last episode before our Christmas special last year. We were talking about this issue where I have two apps. I've got our internal CRM and our members area. And both of those applications need to talk to the same database. And the problem I have at the moment is that the CRM, which was the source of truth, was a bespoke application. So there's no framework, there's no migrations, there's no versioning of the database in any way. So we don't have any way of then sharing the database schema with the members area. So when I was building that as a contractor for my current employer, I basically had a copy of the database and all of my tests that I'd written were against a copy of the database. And so it's a bit slow because it's an actual MySQL database that you're running against.
Sure.
And the issue was that I was running all of my tests with transactions. There was no migrations. Yep. There's no way of knowing, like if I spin up an environment later on that you know, there's new tables that have been added or columns have been changed and things like that. And we had talked about sort of the best way of versioning the data, I suppose, or the database using migrations when one of the applications is Laravel and the other one is not. And I came up with this idea of basically coming up with a separate repository or a separate application that would be responsible just for the migrations.
Good idea.
And once I'd figured that out, it was then a matter of figuring out how I could then share the migrations into the two applications. So the CRM now, we're getting in the sort of final stages of migrating it to Laravel. And in saying that, it's not, Laravel is not replacing the CRM, but we've put it in front of so that we essentially route everything through a Laravel controller. And that then just passes through to the underlying files for anything that's still there. And then we can slowly start migrating everything through to Laravel. So in that
Strangler
way, I guess we have two. Yeah. So I guess in that way, we've got two Laravel apps now. So it makes it much easier to share the migrations, because if you develop a package, you can, in the package service provider, you can actually say you should also load migrations from this file.
Right.
Or this location. So now we've got this third application which sits there, and it's specifically responsible for our shared models, but also for our shared migrations. So the theory being, now that that's in place, is that I could include that application as a package of the main CRM or members apps, and it'll, with package auto-loading, figure out that there's a service provider there. The service provider will then load the migrations in, and that then gives me the ability to, number one, have a single source of truth for my database.
Yep.
So I can version it. We can run the migrations in our production environment separately to the applications themselves. But it also gives me the ability to then load that package and then use the migrations in the test. So I'm actually able to run the migrations up and down and do tests as needed. So that took a bit of doing. There is no foundation component. Like Illuminate Foundation, there is no component. I did ask Taylor about that, but there never has been one. So whilst it is split off, there's no composer package for it. So Nuno Maduro, who wrote the Laravel Zero framework for building command line applications, which we'll link up, which we'll link up in the show notes as well, he basically forked that and created a composer package of it. So I was able to pull in that in order to get a separate application running, which I called Nomad.
I like that name. That's
and,
a good name.
And that allows you, thank you, that allows you to basically just run the migration. So it's got all the make commands to make migrations, to make CEDARs. It's got the migrate status, migrate rollback, migrate fresh, migrate refresh. And also, no, I think that's all of them. Yeah, so it exposes all of those migrate commands and allows you to essentially, for anyone who's familiar with that syntax, to get it up and running. And I think it's also simple enough that if we needed to get one of our systems team to create tables, we could get them to do that there as
right.
well.
Yeah.
It was mostly from a familiarity point of view. You know, we didn't want to have to learn to use Finx or one of the other sort of database-specific tools. And it also gives us the ability to pull that in into our existing applications, so we're not, you know, I mean, it's separate, but it can be considered the same. Just makes it a bit easier for us to do that. And then all of our models are in there as well. So it's a nice way, I think, of sharing stuff between those two applications. And then when we start moving our API into that same sort of infrastructure with the Laravel app in front of it, you know, we'll have all of the models and migrations ready to go for a third app and a fourth app if we need to later on.
Very cool. Yeah. So Nomad, you install Nomad on a server and then you run your artisan commands, like your migrate commands, from Nomad, and that will kind of update all your databases, right?
So I would think of Nomad as artisan.
Yep.
So you wouldn't install it separately.
It's just a package.
Yep. So you wouldn't install Nomad on its own, or you wouldn't install it as a global repository or anything like that. Another application called Vagabond, which is essentially like a Laravel base app. And that's what you would then pulls in Nomad as a dependency. And that's what you would use as the base for whatever project you're working on.
Okay. So these two applications that you have both pull in Nomad.
Vagabond pulls in Nomad. Yep.
So the two that you're trying to migrate together, though, are you going to pull those
and
all
that would both? Yeah. So that would just pull in Vagabond.
Okay.
So Vagabond would then expose the migrations and the models.
Yep.
And you would, and then you can just run the migrations using Artisan then.
Okay. From any of them, from either.
Yep.
Got it. And it doesn't matter because they're both pointing at the same database.
Correct.
So they're both looking at the same migrations table, so they'll know what the latest migration that was run is.
Yeah. So the theory is not that either of the members or the CRM apps will be responsible for running the migrations. We could run them straight out of the Vagabond app directly on, you know, as part of some other process.
Sure.
But they could. It was more around being able to use those migrations in testing and development and things like that.
Right. Yep. It makes sense. Yeah. We actually have a such situation that's sort of similar, and that's a really good idea because we have two applications that share the same database. And so essentially what we did is we just decided to have one of the apps be the place where we would keep all the migrations. Cause before it was like, all right, we need to add something to this table. And I was like, oh, the other app needed something to add to this table. And so you ended up having migrations in two different apps, and it was a mess. Like, it was horrible. Yeah. So we ended up moving it all over to one application. And this was like, you know, 3 years ago. But as a result, the other one doesn't really have any like tests that interact with the database. It has some tests, but it doesn't have any tests that interact with the database.
Yeah.
Directly. So that would be a great way to do that, to kind of take those migrations out and just put them into a third little thing that we could pull into both of them. That way we could share them between them, and it's no worries if it gets up. The only challenge would be, I guess it wouldn't be a challenge, but it would be like, you know, like you said, you'd have to essentially, when you wanted to have a migration, you'd have to update it in the package first, and then you'd have to pull in the new version of the package, and then you'd have to run the migrations. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to do it, though. That's a really good way to do it. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little extra overhead, but I think it'll work nicely. I need to blog about it and do some.
You'd have to share your model factories too.
I suppose you could load the factories in there as well. Yeah.
Because that'd be a pain to have separate factories too. Like, if the databases are the same, the scheme is the same, the migrations are the same, the factories are probably going to be the same too. I would hate to have to rewrite factories for all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could put them in the you know, the Vagabond app and just namespace them in the same way that Laravel does, and they should theoretically just autoload then.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Well, yeah the factories...
No, they would. I think that would work.
I don't know if factories are namespace. The factories class, like the model factories
thing.
No,
but they're...
Class
map autoloading in the composer.json in the Laravel app. So this would be the same thing, I would say.
Yep. You're right. There you go. Nomad. This is a great name. Vagabond. What's Vagabond? I'm looking to see the definition of this here. The person who wanders from place to place without a home or job. Vagabond and Nomad are pretty much the same thing then. Nomad is also a person who does not stay long in the same place, a wanderer, a member of people having no permanent abode who travel from place to place to find fresh pasture for their livestock. I love it. It's a great name.
That's both right. Yeah. So the theory was that Nomad was the Laravel style database migrations wherever they may roam. And then Vagabond was some other crazy thing. Yeah. Just Eloquent without a home was Eloquent. Was Vagabond. Sorry. So yeah.
Cool, man. Love it.
But yeah, I will. I need to write about them and maybe do a couple of short videos on how they work and how to use. I did present on the two of them at PHP Meetup this month. So that went pretty well.
That's cool. I'll have to watch that. You put that in the show notes. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Cool. Didn't you say that like blew up at the last second or something?
Yeah, it did. I got all the way through to the point where I was showing how it worked inside of a Laravel app. Like when you pull it into your main application in the end. And I forgot to change a couple of places in the composer.json. So it didn't auto load them properly, but. It's all right. There'll be no such mistakes in the videos that I send out.
Nice. Okay, I got two other kind of tech-related things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to talk about the first one on my list here. Okay, so Facebook API is a pain in the butt. Their marketing insights API is not fun. I can't figure out. So I've got like a sandbox account. Here's the context. Here's the large overview. So I work for a nonprofit on Fridays. Spread Truth is the name of it. And we are going to be partnering with a different organization who will remain nameless. And we essentially are wanting to track the stats of a video that is going to be promoted through Facebook. So we want to see how many people in this particular region are viewing this video, how many people have viewed it, and want to be able to see a live updated stats page to show how many have viewed it, how many are currently viewing it, what the location is, and it's kind of going to be like a pseudo actual location. We'll know around where they are. We can't like pinpoint their location, of course, because Facebook doesn't like share their IP, so you can't do like a reverse geo IP lookup or anything. So we'll just kind of like approximate that. But that's what it's going to be. So I need to provide like a dashboard, like a large dashboard that could be shown on like a projector or like a TV. And then I need to also provide like a mobile application where, not application, but a mobile website where people can go on and see it. And so the challenge is going to be that this is a simulcast, some sort of thing. So there's going to be 60,000 people hitting this at one time
for
a span of a couple hours. And so I have to make sure that this thing can handle the traffic. So initially I was really worried, but I'm thinking it won't actually be that bad with the way that I'm thinking of doing it. So what I'm thinking is my application is just going to basically pull Facebook API once a minute. Right. And really, honestly, if you've looked at Spassi's dashboard, I was looking at it and it's pretty much going to be exactly that. Like I thought the whole thing through. And then this last week we worked on a internal dev dashboard and I was like, this is exactly what I just came up with. I could have saved myself some time. So the idea of like every minute I have a scheduler that it's going to ping out to Facebook's API. I'm going to grab the new stats, the new set of numbers. I'm going to kind of like diff that against the last set of numbers I have. So I know how many people have visited it since the last time. So like if it was like 800 last time and now it's 900, then I know that like, you know, there's 100 people different. And so what I'll end up having it do is like over the span of the next minute, I'll kind of like randomly place those 100 dots on the map.
Yeah.
And kind of like count up as the minute goes on to kind of like show, you know, I can't, it's not actually real time, but it's like approximately real time.
Simulate real time.
Exactly. So what I'll do is I'll essentially just queue up events, pusher events that will get dispatched through Echo. So I'll do an event in Laravel, which will get dispatched through pusher and consumed on the front end through Echo. And then I'll have view components that are listening for those events and will update the dashboard accordingly. Or update the little dashboard that they're viewing accordingly. So that's the idea. The problem is like with Pusher, I should go look at how much it is. It's like if you're going to have 60,000 people on Pusher, if you need to be able to have 60,000 simultaneous connections, it gets kind of pricey, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Well, you're not going to have 60,000 people looking at the dashboard, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, at the dashboard, they're going to be looking at it.
They'll be on their mobile device. I mean, potentially, right? There's going to be 60,000 viewers. So they could potentially be all on their mobile application, on their mobile phone, looking at a mobile version of the dashboard.
Yeah, but they would be subscribed to your local app, right? And so if they miss a broadcast, they're not, like, it's not sending 60,000 different ones. It's going to send one request for, like, back to your app, and then your app will be responsible for handling it then, right?
Right. Right. So you're saying Facebook?
Yeah.
So I will pull Facebook.
So the events, you're going to ping Facebook.
Yep. And then I consume the API in Facebook, and then I will say, hey, pusher, you know, I say fire an event locally on mine, right? I dispatch an event, and then that event goes to pusher.
Yeah.
And then pusher broadcasts that to all the WebSocket connections.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Interesting.
So, I mean, I'm looking at here. So $50 to $500 a month is up to 10,000 max connections. I'm wondering, so like you can do like a tailored solution. So you can say custom max connections, unlimited channels, custom messages per day, whatever. So I would probably just get in touch with them and say, hey, I need to be able to do up to 100,000 simultaneous connections at once for a week. What will it cost me? And they'll probably say like $500 or $1,000. We'll do that, you know, and then just ratchet it down after that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's like, this is the first time it'll be like, it's a predicted spike in traffic. So it's not like it's not like I have to have, I don't know, I might need to talk to TJ. So I might have to have like a load balancer and a couple servers. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The thing is, once they're on the page, they're there. Like, it's not like they're not refreshing the page. It's not going to be load on my server. All I'm going to send to them is literally a little view component with a tiny little piece of data that's going to represent mm-hmm. what's currently in like my persisted database for what has already come in. Like if they're just visiting the page, right? Like every time I hit Facebook, I will store those values. And then if somebody new comes to the page, they will get the most recent version of those values. And then they will get subscribed to Pusher, and Pusher will be responsible for sending them any events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when are you doing this event?
Next week? No, I'm just kidding. I got a couple months to work it out.
Yeah, okay.
So the Facebook API is
scaling
annoying.
Will be the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But Facebook API is being annoying because it doesn't it gives you a sandbox account, but it doesn't allow you to create a fake ad unless you do it through the API. So now I have to figure out how do I create a fake video ad through the API. It's like, just give me a UI tool to create the video ad, and then I will just give me fake data back from the marketing API or the insights API. So that's all I need. I just need some dummy JSON so I can know what to expect from them.
I've only ever looked at the Facebook API once, and the whole graph thing, I just, no thanks. Yep. We just decided not to use Facebook. We decided in the end to support Twitter and Instagram because their APIs were a little bit more sane.
Yeah.
What we wanted to do.
Yeah. So I don't really have a choice, unfortunately. And it's, it really is going to be the best tool for the job, but it's just figuring out how to use the API. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of I have a lot of ideas for what I want it to do. And I don't want to get hung up on that part. So it's I might just kind of skip that altogether and be whatever they give me, I'm going to transform it to give me these three pieces of data. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And screw the rest of it. And then I will just, I'm just going to give myself some fixtures and kind of develop from that and then make the rest of it work. And then once that is in place, then I'll get back around to how I'm going to get that data in. Cause I may aggregate some data too, right? I may say if they see it on the Facebook or if they see it through YouTube link, I don't know, aggregate those views as well or whatever, you know? So who knows?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I wish you the best.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You got any other dev stuff?
Well, we brought on our second new developer for the year, had his first week this week. You've met this guy, which is a very small sample of people. It is Aaron, yeah.
Aaron!
Yeah, so he's on board now. He's going to be doing largely the front end of this application we're building, which is pretty good. So we've got one, he's certainly capable of doing the back end side of things, but I think given the data that we have to hit, it's all XML and gross. I think it's easier if we separate, one person working basically full time on doing the back end and the API kind of stuff, and Aaron's going to work on the front end. So he's been working in Angular for the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
Poor guy.
And so I said, we're gonna use Vue because all of our other stuff is Laravel and Vue, so it makes sense to keep the stack the same. And he spent a day and a half reading the Vue docs, and he said, I like Vue. It's got all of the nice stuff that Angular had.
But way easier to write.
None of the junk,
understand.
And much easier to reason about. So he's decided he's going to build an SPA, and he's going to use Vuex and Vue Router or whatever the bits and pieces are, and I said, look, you're going to support it, so I'm happy for you to do whatever you want. So
wow, so he's going to build an SPA.
That's
a leap. Yep.
Yeah, it is. So I think he'll be all right. He's built a couple of Angular based SPAs in the past, so it'll be good, but it's nice to have him on board. We had to wait a couple of weeks for him to serve out his notice period.
Yeah,
his
sure, 2 week job, notice, which,
and spanned over Christmas and New Year. So he's on board now, and it's nice. The little team's grown, and we're certainly getting underway now. Yeah,
new beginnings.
Yeah, it's really good.
Speaking of new beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Segway.
That was a good segue.
I planted that one. I planted that.
You planted it. Like I planted.
That's right.
Yeah. So I did tease on Twitter over the weekend that I had some more exciting news, and I seem to be full of it lately, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like full of exciting news, obviously. Yeah. Not full of the other thing. my wife is pregnant. So
it's official.
It's nice to finally get that out. Yeah. It's make it official, and it's on Facebook now. So it's a real thing. Yeah. We found out in October last year, and we sort of kept it to our chest, obviously, as people tend to do through the first 12 weeks or so.
Right, right.
12 weeks was right before Christmas, and so we told Ree's family before we went away, and then we told my family, and the scale of excitement between the two was massive, because my parents, my sister has 4 kids already, so yeah. They were like, oh, you know, congratulations,
right,
like,
right,
we've got another one. I don't think it quite sunk in that, like, they will have access to this one pretty much all the time, whereas my sister, they're away, so they only see them a couple of times a year.
Sure, yeah.
And then my dad's like, oh, we're going to go on a cruise next year for 3 months, and hopefully we'll be back in time for the birth of the baby.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, okay, no worries.
Oh.
So they'll be here.
Yeah.
But Ree's family was, like, ecstatic because she's the oldest.
Awesome.
And so this is the first grandchild
yeah.
and first great-grandchild.
So cool.
So, yeah, they were really excited about it. Her grandpa cried, which is cute.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was good.
I didn't get to hear that. That's so pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, that was a lot of fun. It was nice to finally be able to tell them. And then, you know, we went away to my sister's over Christmas and we came back. And we went and saw my grandma. And she's like, oh, congratulations. That's really exciting. And then she sort of stopped for a second and she goes, you know, this will be my 11th great-grandchild. I'm like, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but all of my cousins are really excited by it all because it's like we've all grown up now. Our youngest, the youngest of my generation of cousins is 18 now. So it'll be nice to get some new fresh blood in, you know, baby wise. So,
yeah,
really exciting. The other end of the thing is that the baby's due in July, so I'm not going to make it to Larricon, US
this
year.
Which sucks so bad. Oh, no.
Which does. I was looking forward to getting back to Chicago, but I won't be able to make it. I don't think, even if I did, I would ever be allowed to come back. So I'd probably be best if like something happened to me when I was in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so we're not making it. We knew last year that this year we were probably going to be in a position where
I remember you hinting at it. I remember you being like, I remember saying something or asking, and you're like, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see about next year. And I'm thinking like, I wonder what that means. I had my suspicions.
That's why we had, you know, a big holiday last year, and we did the tour of the US for 3 weeks because we wanted to get it all out of the way.
That's
before
cool. Yeah.
This year, and thankfully things worked out the way that we were planning on them working out. And If you do make it to Sydney for Larricon AU in October, we'll probably have a 3-month-old with us. So.
Oh, so fun. Dude, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
You'll have a little Joey.
So excited. Yeah. That's right. People have been asking us, you know, have you got names picked out? And we're like, yeah, we've had names picked out, both boy and girl, for like 2 years. We've just been waiting for the right timing for the baby to be here. And the fun
Gandalf,
part is that Ree knows
Dumbledore.
The sex of the baby. Dumbledore, yeah. Gandalf. Yeah. Ree knows the sex of the baby. I don't want to know. So
so you guys are splitting it. Wow. She's gonna slip.
So
I guarantee it.
It's worked, I know. It's worked out really well because now she can't tell anybody else because
because
she's like, well, I'm not gonna tell the father of my child, I'm not gonna tell anybody else. She did tell Sheldon, our dog, so but he's been really good at keeping the secret so far.
That's hard because, you know, there's a saying, it says joy is not complete until it is shared. I think that's the mm-hmm. saying. I think mm-hmm. that's how it goes. So like, you know, it's kind of like if you find this great deal on like something, like you just have to tell somebody, right? It's like, oh, like I know this thing and just I have to tell somebody. Like it's just like that's the completion of your joy is like sharing it with
that's
someone.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So like that's so going to be hard for her. So at least she was able to share it with the dog. That's good.
Yeah.
I didn't get to give you a warning that somebody gave me, which was we were pregnant with our first. And we were going home for Thanksgiving and they were like, enjoy this Thanksgiving because this will be the last holiday that anybody will care that it's you that's coming home. Like they're like, once you have a kid, nobody cares that you're there. They just want to see your kids. You know what I mean? It's like the grandparents, they just all want to see the kids. It's not about you at all anymore. It's like, hey, I know you're coming home. Are the kids coming? You know, whatever. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I'll, I think we're going to be okay. Like, Rhi's a terrible liar. So as long as I don't ask her point blank, I'll be okay. We do have a box of things that has a big label on it that says, you know, this is gender specific.
Do not open
this box unless you want to know. So I think it's more temptation for me than anything else. But it's in a spare room.
That's exciting, though. That's super exciting. Are you going to wait until the day of?
Yeah.
So That's super cool. I don't know if I could do that.
I just don't think about it so much.
Yeah.
Whereas Rhi's like, you know, do you want to know? I'll tell you. I'm like, no. If I don't think about it, the weeks would just fly by, and it'll be July before we know it. So,
okay,
this episode's out.
We should have a poll.
Yeah, I think so.
Boy or girl? All right, I'm gonna put my vote in.
And it is definitely one. It is definitely just one.
Yeah. Whew. I'm going to say. Oh man, 50-50. I'm gonna say boy. You're gonna have a boy.
That's what I'm hearing. That was my dad.
Michael Jr.
An hour after we told him on Christmas morning, he's like, is your wife looking after my grandson? I'm like, well, she's certainly looking after your grandchild. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl yet. And he's like, it's a boy. I'm like, well, I hope you're right. But, you know, as long as it's healthy, that's fine.
Right. Are you hoping for a boy secretly, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Rhi knows. I said, I want one of each and I want the boy first.
Yep. That's, you know, I feel like it's a good way. I mean, so... You know,
big brother power, has to look
power
after
to women,
sister.
All that stuff, whatever. I just like, you know, I wanted my oldest to be a boy so he could like take care of his sisters in school and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be so he could be a good protector. I'm trying to teach him that.
Yep.
But man, when you kids at this age, they don't understand that. Like everybody beats up on everybody. They all like do not touch your sister. You are not allowed to hit a girl. Like, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, man, like you hit a girl, it was... that was not a good day for you.
No, it was not.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, man. Congratulations. That's awesome. So excited for you guys. You guys are gonna be amazing parents. Yeah.
People keep telling me that. I'm not convinced yet, but we'll see.
You guys are so fun. You guys are so fun. You're like such fun parents. You know, like you guys like video games, which your kids will love. You know what I mean? You guys are both super friendly and very interesting and have lots of varied hobbies. So it's cool. It's very cool.
Well, our child apparently is at the stage of development now where their eyes are sensitive to light and they can hear. So my wife has very sensitive eyelids. So, if there is like a fraction of light in our room in the morning, she's awake, like it's too bright. So I'm like flashing a light at her stomach to make sure that the baby's used to the light. And I keep telling the baby, sports first. Basketball, I want to see you in the NBA. You can play cricket or football. And then, like, make sure you're smart as well, because you have to be able to do something after sports is over.
Yep. After you blow out both of your knees playing rugby, you're going to need to have a career after that. So
that's it. Nice desk job.
Yep. Okay. Let's see where we're at. We're at 45. So let's wrap this up. Mm-hmm. What is one of your goals for this year? Let me start with mine, because I already wrote mine down. So
you go.
I just the one that I've kind of got here is that I would like to do like a teaching series, like a video teaching series this year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't really necessarily have anything in mind. A regular expression stuff I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Andrew Del Preti does these 5-minute dev stuff. And I think it would be cool to do just something small just for myself, really, just to say that I've done something, not because it's not been done before. Goodness knows there's how many regex tutorials and whatever out there.
Sure.
It'd be just for me to kind of get my feet wet and, maybe if somebody finds it helpful, that'd be good too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to do that. I think it would be cool. So I submitted a talk idea for Laracon Chicago. I'm not sure if I want to do it or not. Like, you know what I mean? It's like one of those things where it's like, I think it'd be super fun to give a talk, but I also want to enjoy Laracon, which is like, if you have to give a talk there, it's going to be like, you're going to be miserable the whole time until you
give
your talk.
Depends on how early you get to speak.
Yeah, exactly. If you're the first one, you're good. You're totally fine.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think that would be a good thing. Maybe standing in front of an audience of 800 people and doing your first talk is not a great idea. So, speaking of that, maybe do a teaching course and then do a talk of some sort, whether it's at a local meetup or whatever, if it's a cash money conf or whatever it is, give a talk of some sort. Those are kind of two goals for me this year that I really want to accomplish. And you know what, 2 years ago, my goal was be on a podcast, and we started one that year, and now we have two. So
yeah,
pushing yourself a little bit forward, a little bit out of your comfort zone can do good things for you. So
yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I want to get is an espresso machine. And I know you have a really nice one, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Andrew Delpretty, we've got the same one.
Tell me what it is. What's the model?
My coffee shop has been closed since the week of Christmas for renovations. And I have just made my beans stretch. So they're open again on Monday. So I'm going down there to check out their new digs and get some coffee.
When you said that, I thought you were saying your coffee shop, as in like your coffee shop at home. I thought you were referring to your espresso machine as your coffee shop, but I got you.
What model do you have? It's a Barista Express, I think. It's made by Breville. I'll link
Barista
it up in the show
Express
notes.
Breville. All right, I'm looking. Does yours have the like grinder on top of it?
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah. So my previous one didn't. I had a separate grinder, and it was a pain because you've got to like grind it in there, and you've got to try and get the ground beans out without losing them all and making a mess everywhere.
They're a bit pricey, aren't they?
Yeah, we got ours on sale a couple of years ago. It was like $300 off.
Oh, really?
But it depends on how much you want to spend.
Yeah, they looked.
You could win one at your company conference, right? Like
exactly.
Mr. Delpretty did.
Exactly. Yeah, this is just one of those things that I'm gonna have to just be like, okay, I really want this. It'll be worth it because I'll use it all the time. And just do a freelance job and just do it. Just buy one.
Yeah.
I really want one.
So much money on coffee now that I like make my own.
Yeah. I would literally make it every day. I'd make lattes every day.
Yeah. And then you can get some Great Wild Coffee.
Yep. Great Wild Coffee. TJ Miller. Go TJ.
Grind those beans up.
Yep. Yep. Okay. It was you. What were we talking? Oh, goals for this year. What do you want to do this year?
Well, I have a couple of really, really big ones.
Okay, let's hear it.
My number one
one have
is
a child.
To have a child. Yeah.
That's a pretty big one.
So that is going to be like a massive life change for us.
Yep.
You know, we've been living the young couple life for like 10 years now.
Yep.
It'll be 10 years together this year in October.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, we've been married. It'll be 4 years of marriage, but yeah, 10 years together. The big one is be a dad. I'm like really, really excited and really, really terrified all at the same time because I have no idea. I look at my friends and stuff and they're teaching their kids this stuff. I'm like, man, I can't bring myself to that level. Like, I just feel like it's really hard. So it's going to be an adjustment, I think. I think once the baby's here, it'll be different. It'll just be like, yeah, just be like a total doofus with the kid and hang out and like the world around you stops to exist kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of looking forward to. But the other really big one is Laracon and like making that happen and be awesome. So Laracon AU, that is.
Yeah, right. That's huge.
In Sydney.
Huge.
We announced our first two speakers. So really, really excited to have Adam Wathen and Matt Stauffer heading to Sydney to speak. They will bookend our lovely little conference.
Yeah, that's super cool.
We've started to get submissions. So CFP is open. If anyone local is listening or some New Zealanders, I'm waiting for your submissions as well. We've got
or any central Illinois people. I hear are really high on your list this year. So
yeah, hey, the only way any of y'all are going to see me this year is if you come and visit me in Sydney.
Yep.
So
and
I
you've
feel
done
like
it twice.
I have been.
So you've
I've
been,
done it twice.
You've
so
paid
it's
your dues.
Only fair you come and see me once.
Yep. Yep. I totally agree.
I'm still trying to get that third speaker to commit. And we've got four great community sponsors that have jumped on already. So
that's
thanks
awesome,
to
man.
Ian and Lara Jobs, thanks to Eric and Laravel News, thanks to Adam at DevApp, and thanks to the beautiful, beautiful people at Titan for jumping on board. But yeah, we've got our first gold sponsor, which I'm really, really excited about, which is finalizing some details with that, but we should be able to announce them next week. And ticket sales for our mailing list have been ticking along pretty nicely. We're about a third of the way through our mailing list allocations. So if you're on that list and you haven't bought your ticket, make sure you jump on and we will, once those tickets go, they're gone forever and the price will go up and the public early bird will commence. So
what is the address? Laracon.au or Laracon.au?
Laracon.com.au.
Laracon.com.au. Okay.
And thanks to Steve Shoger for putting that site together. He's super, super busy. He's working with Taylor. He's working with Titan. He's got his own stuff going on the side as well. I'm really happy that he managed to squeeze some time in to get that site together. It looks really good.
It does. Looks super good.
It was an idea that I kind of had in my head, but I never really mentioned, because when Steve and I spoke first, he was going to do a concept similar to what's being used for the US site this year with the line art,
yeah,
which looks really, really nice.
Yeah.
And then, when he went out looking for inspiration for the line art, he found the photo that we're using on the Laracon AU website, and just went from there. So
looks great. Yeah,
can't thank him enough.
Yep, looks really awesome. Well done, Steve. Cool, man. I might have to submit a talk and just get your feedback.
So.
Yeah, and maybe I'll just submit the same talk. We'll see.
I'll look forward to it.
All right, sounds good, man. Sounds good. Yeah, dude, you've got big stuff this year. So, yes, having a child will change your life for sure. It will definitely make it's difficult, but it's a good difficult. Like, it's a good challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It changes things, and it is hard, but it's super, super rewarding. One of the most, the most rewarding thing I've done. Like, it's just, like, it's like your legacy. You know what I mean? It's like your children are like the largest footprint you could leave on the world, I feel like. Like, you're replicating little yous. You know what I mean? So, and it is kind of scary too, because they say that you teach what you know, but you replicate what you are. Right, like who you are. So you can try and teach your kids all you want, but like at the end of the day, like the best way to like make sure that your kids are going to be good people is to like improve yourself, kind of, you know what I mean? Like to be a good person yourself.
So
that's an intimidating thing, because it's like you know your own faults so well, you know, and you're like oh man.
Anyway. Yeah, the things that you see in yourself, and you're like, man, I really hope my kids don't have this, and you've got to like hide that part of you from them.
Yeah.
And you know, or really change the things that you don't want your kids to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've had 30 years of experience with the things that I do. So
Yeah. That's wild. Well, you guys are going to be awesome though. You'll do great. So
thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, you will. You'll be great.
If not, we can have another one.
There you go. Yeah. Round two, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. All right, man. Well, this was episode 39.
39.
Thanks everybody for listening. You can find show notes for this episode at northmeetsouth.audio /39. If you have any questions or comments for us, please hit us up on Twitter at our personal Twitter accounts or at northsouthaudio. If you like the podcast, please feel free to rate us up in iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars would be very, very appreciated. If you'd like to send Michael and Ree some baby warming gifts, some awesome onesies or whatever, we need to get Michael a PO box or something so we can send you something without giving away your physical home address. You could probably just give us your work address. We can put it in the show notes.
Well, I've got a PO box. I have to get a PO box for MailChimp because I didn't want my physical home address to be on the Laracon mailing list.
Good idea. Yeah. We should use that PO box. So we should use that PO box to send you lots of baby presents. That'd be awesome. Get your tickets for, or get on the mailing list for Laracon AU. If you have any interest at all, please do that. It'd be much appreciated by Michael, I'm sure. Just show some support. Yeah. And as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the best to everyone for 2018. I hope it's a great year for you all as well.
For sure. All right, everybody. We will see you in 2 weeks.
See ya.